Huh? Do you want an umbrella, Jesse? Someone recommended that. Just put a little umbrella over it. We should probably fix the roof, though. I think that's really... Let's go to the source of this one, right? But I hope you all have come to worship the Lord today. Prepare your hearts and receive what God has for us today. And I just want to encourage anyone who, you know, who feels inspired by God, if he's giving you something that's not only for yourself, but maybe for someone else, and you know that, then I want you to, you know, come up and feel free to share. You know, this is your service. It's not just my service or the staff service or the leadership service. This is your service. You're his people, and so your voice is important. And a lot of times you can say things in ways that I can't say it or someone else can't say it because you've lived a life and had an experience and had already a relationship with God that I haven't particularly had. And your view and your perspective can maybe give someone else an idea of how to move forward in God that no one else can give it to them. So know that the word is in you. You have Holy Spirit living in you, and if you don't feel equipped to come up here, then just rely on God to speak through you. Today is going to be family communion, so we'll break at a certain point in the worship, and we'll have communion. So if you would stand with me, let's prepare our hearts. I'll have the band start up right now. No, I'm kidding. But don't start it yet. It's actually the first song is a short song. It's In the River, but it's only 4.5 minutes long. It barely got in the queue. So, but Father, we come to your throne of grace right now, Lord, and we just ask that, Lord, we move beyond, Lord, our own mind, our own understanding, God, and into your presence today. Lord, that we would not let the circumstances around us or the situations, Lord, that have tried to drag us down to keep us from you. Lord, we know that when we seek you, we find you, when we search you with all our hearts. So we pray our hearts today, Lord, would be hungry. Lord, if they're not hungry now, put a hunger in us. Draw us to your throne, Lord. Draw us to your heart. Lord, we want to know your heartbeat. We want to know how you feel about us and what you think about us and how you want us to live for you. God, we want to know those things. So we pray today that revelation and truth and understanding would come. I pray, Lord, that the time that we spend in worship, that we would draw closer to who you are. And Lord, that we would become who you want us to be. And we ask this now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Revelation 12, verse 10, 11. Verse 10 says, "Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, 'Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down.'" And verse 11 says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." There's something that goes beyond the normalcy of communion that we've experienced and had, you know, I guess experiences with for me most of my adult life since I was 19. And it's, as we've talked about before, it's in a supernatural connection with the heavenlies. Communion isn't just a physical act, it's a spiritual act. And I think this is so poignant that it's an overcoming power that we're engaging with. When we come and we take communion, we're not just remembering what Jesus did for us then, but we're appropriating what he's doing for us right now. It's not a look what he did for us in the past and being thankful, even though that is part of it, gratefulness and thankfulness. But it's exchanging our weak state, exchanging our somewhat already conquered state, it seems like sometimes, with his overcoming power. And so when we take communion today, as a family, and you guys can go and come on up now if you'd like, and gather up here. We take family communion here, so you take it as a family. If you guys want to, you can start taking the elements there. There's already a cup there with the bread already in it, so. Okay, not done. And if we're running low, we have more, so we'll just see. Here it is. It's coming right now as I speak. How many know the accuser of the brethren is the enemy of our soul? He's the one that does not want us to receive all that God has for us. And we overcome him by Jesus Christ's blood. Now I know this is juice and this is bread, but spiritually it's more than that. And so today when we take the juice and the bread, realizing that we're engaging with the blood of Jesus Christ. And if you feel like there's something that's been in your life that has been conquering you, maybe it's sickness and disease, maybe it's a relationship, maybe it's you know, just no joy, maybe it's just no peace in your life. You just feel like the enemy has just come in and had a heyday with your life. I encourage you today by faith, when you take communion, as you drink the juice, say, I'm engaging with your blood, Lord, and I overcome this enemy in my life now by the blood of the Lamb. And make that the word of your testimony, that victory will be yours, not because you just stood, but because of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and because you're standing in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. So let's go ahead and take the bread, which is his body. Lord, we thank you that you were broken. Your body was broken, Lord, so that we could be made whole. That you gave your body over to be tortured, brutalized, beaten. Says that you were bruised for our transgressions, Lord. You were crushed for our iniquities, Lord. You were broken down so that we could be made whole. And so Lord, today as we take this bread, Lord, we thank you for your broken body, and we receive wholeness into our being, spirit, soul, and body. We receive oneness, common union with our God and our Father, in Jesus' name. Go ahead and take the bread. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for the testimony that we do and we will overcome the enemy of our soul by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And Father, whatever has been causing us, Lord, setbacks, and whatever is keeping us, Lord, from becoming everything you've called us to be, or has brought our soul into a dark place, Lord, we stand on your word today that your blood is overcoming power. And we receive, Lord, this into our bodies as a sign, Lord, that we're engaging with the blood of Christ as our overcoming power, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We praise your name. We praise your name. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb. Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, you want to save that one for later? Yeah, if you could, thank you. Well,
Well, praise the Lord. Well, we have someone that's going to be sharing today, but I was also reminded that I said that I was going to do some teaching, real short, on the Bible and how to do some studying. So today I've put together just a few slides that, and this is based on a physical Bible. So if you guys, if nobody uses a physical Bible anymore, this is all for naught. So, but if you do ever open your Bible at home, if you go to the very back of the Bible, we have something what's called a concordance. Now, some of you probably looked at that and said, oh, there's different words there, and there seems to be different references that I can go to. Well, that's basically what a concordance is. Go ahead and go to the next one. Concordance is a dictionary in which the principal words used in the scriptures are arranged alphabetically, and the book, chapter, and verse in which each word occurs are noted, designed to assist in inquiring and finding any passage of scripture by means of any leading word in a verse which can recollect. So if we go to the next one, we'll see that in the section of God, there's some verses there. You start at Genesis 1:1, God created the heavens. In the beginning, God created the heavens. So you could go to this concordance, and this is just in a normal Bible. Now, how many have seen a full Strong's concordance? It's a weapon. I'm telling you, it is a lethal weapon. If somebody hits you up alongside the head of a true Strong concordance, you'd be out for a bit. But this, in my Bible, this is my Bible at home. This is a section on the word God. If we go to the next one, we can see here that it's bringing up for G. That's the word God, just so you know. So loved the world, John 3:16. So as you can see, you can find a verse that has the word God in it, but you can find many others. There's Isaiah 12:2 there. There's Acts 8:37. Now, that's not an exhaustive or an unlimited amount of the word God. Obviously, we know that if we were to have the word God, we would probably take multiple pages in the book. But this is just like a synopsis of some of the most used verses, for instance, John 3:16. So let's go ahead and go to the next one. So this is just you in the back. You say, I want to look up now. God may not be the most, you know, interesting. You may want to go look up something like faith or God's good. But I mean, there's a lot of verses on God. Or you may want to look up something on, say, tithing or something on peace. And so you could go to that word, same way I did there, and you would look at a verse. Now you can go through and you can kind of read through there. I'll go ahead and go back for a moment. You can kind of read through there and see God is spirit. Oh, God is spirit. Okay, I've heard that before. I'm going to go take a look at that. Or you can say, my Lord and my God, indeed let God be true. Oh, okay, I know what that verse is. Let God be true and every man a liar. But maybe you didn't know that. So what does that mean, God be true? So you could just start doing some studying just by reading through those verses and see what kind of lights up in your heart. Because, you know, Holy Spirit will direct you when you're using a concordance. He'll direct you when you're using your find, your search. You know, he'll make something pop out at you. Just as if you're reading, how many have like read a chapter or read a couple of verses, all of a sudden something pops out, you know, and Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. He'll do that with a concordance. He'll do that with a menu at the restaurant if he needs to. He'll get our attention however he needs to, right? Okay, so go ahead and go on. Jesse, thank you. So here we go to John 3:16. That's what the verse is. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So here we've gone to that verse. And now we can see, oh, there's the word God, just like I said. So God so loved. So we can see that the emphasis of that verse is God loving. And so what we now have in the bottom right of that verse, we now have what's called a reference. Some people call them chain references. It's because you can go to one verse and it will lead you to another verse, and then another verse could lead you to another verse, and there's actually what's called a Thompson Chain Reference Bible, and you can do that all day long. You can literally just keep going back to verses and get lost in the Bible, which is kind of cool. Now, I'm somebody that likes to study the Bible. So for those of you who don't like to study, I'm trying to encourage you here in that I think it's important you do study. You know, the Bible says study to show yourself approved. That's Paul talking to Timothy. But the principle of study is not just so we can be smarter. I always thought it was kind of that. So, you know, when I studied, I was smarter than the next, you know, my peers. And I could, you know, kind of tell them what I knew, and they would tell me what we knew, what they knew, and we'd try to see who knew the most. And unfortunately, you know, that's not why we study. We don't study so that we can be on some grand pedestal and people can look up to us. Oh, they know the Bible. No, we study so we can know him. We study so we can be like him. And, you know, John 3:16 is a good verse, and most people can quote it, but how many know there's a lot more verses in the Bible than John 3:16? There's a lot more to a verse than just maybe reading it one time. And when we start to study and we go and we follow these chains and we allow Holy Spirit to lead us, we grow. Because we start finding truths that are connected that you don't just find when you're reading just through a chapter. Because Paul may say something in Corinthians, but John may say something in 1 John that are totally connected, and you'll read them so far apart, they'll never be connected. But the translation that you're reading that maybe has this reference has already picked up on that. And next time I'll teach you about TSK, so now Scripture Knowledge, Treasury of Scripture Knowledge. And it's in our electronic Bibles. It's not in a regular Bible. So next week we'll have some more electronic Bible stuff. But look at First John 4:9. So we see that now this verse is being referenced to that. So let's go see what 1 John 4:9 says. Let's try this, see if it works. So in this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Wow. Now, does that ever relate to John 3:16? Right? We're learning now that this is love. And this is the love of God. And it was manifested. In other words, it was revealed towards us. In how? That God sent his Son. His only begotten Son. And not only that, but we actually live through him. So now John 3:16 has come to life even more. We're not only saved, we not only have eternal life, but we're now living through him on a day-to-day basis. Do you see how that worked? It's amazing. I get excited when I start studying the Word. And I've read that, I don't know how many times, but it's like, oh, that's fresh. Okay, let's go ahead. This is not a Bible study, but you know, I'm a preacher, so it just comes out. Go back one more time, sorry. So then this verse has Romans 5:8. So look at, now we went to 1 John 4:9. Now it says, hey, go to Romans 5:8 if you want to know more. So okay, let's go to Romans 5:8. So here we have in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us. So this love was a demonstration of his love. And how was it? In that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So there's three verses that we got from one link in what? A concordance. Concordance that was alphabetically in order, gives you different words you can look up. And if it was a Thompson chain, I guarantee there'd be another reference. And we could be at this all day. But what's that? Oh, yeah, absolutely. Bless your heart, you have a cold, huh? It's in the past now. What'd you say? Aftermath. And by the way, hello, Eric and Nancy. They're in the house. Praise the Lord. Yes. Well, yes. Now, you could see, okay, that's very good. I wasn't going to get into all that, but hang on a second. If you look up here in 6, see how it says reference verse 8:10, 4:25, 8:32? That's telling you that those are all in the book of Romans. That 8 means that if you go to verse 8 from 6, they're going to be connected. Do you see that? Verse 10, if we were able to go down, I didn't get verse 10 there, would be listed. If we went back to Romans 4:25, it would be related to the verse 6 up there. Thank you. If it is another book, it will give the book's title. It may just be in a very short, condensed, abbreviated form, but you'll be able to go even to your index in the beginning of your Bible, and you'll be able to see what that form is. For instance, Thessalonians usually TH. Malachi is usually like M-A-L. Sometimes it's M-L. But you can usually find out in your Bible what that reference is. So open your Bible. Start studying. I'm going to do this pretty much every week for just a few minutes. Give us some opportunity to learn about how to learn the Word of God. Amen? All right. So would the children please come up? And you guys can do that too. You're not too young. Try it. Get your Bible at home. And you don't have a Bible? Well, Dad probably has a Bible that you use. You have a Bible? Okay. Well, if you guys want to try that, you can. If not, you can just hide the word in your heart that you already know and speak it to yourself, speak it over your heart, and just receive the power that comes from the Word of God, because it's alive and it's active and it transforms us. Father, we pray for your kids. We pray that you would bless them today, God. Let them go and receive, Lord, the word that you have for them, and let them grow and be who you've called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Let's see. Here, you want to talk for a second? No.
I'm going to go get the...
Hello, family.
I think you went to go get the podium. Podium?
Hello, family.
That's what I said.
I guess it's something better than just dead air, right?
Okay, well, I'm excited to hear what Elise Jones has for us today. Would you welcome her? She's going to come, and she's been brewing over something for, what'd you say, about 2 years? About 2 years, and she came up to me last, she came to Gay and I, and we talked with her for about an hour with Jason, and she said that she's been burning with a word, and she started sharing a little bit, and I realized she really does have something for all of us, not just her own heart. But when I shared last week, I said, so when do you think you want to share? And she said, I have something that goes along with what you've been sharing the last 2 weeks. So, but how many know that we need to prepare our hearts to receive? And we need to make sure that we don't do what it's so easy to do, is hear a word and start hearing something that we think we know and turn it off. Because, folks, we don't know as much as we think we do. We know a lot of information, but we don't necessarily know the heart behind the information. And so every time we hear a word, whether we know the verse or whether we know the whole book, does not matter. We need to listen to it as if we're listening to it for the first time. So I'm going to pray for you. Father, we just pray right now for Alicia, God, that you would just touch her heart. Lord, that you would just allow her to be your vessel today, Lord, that would be used for your glory. Lord, allow her words, God, to go deep into our hearts and allow us to receive, God, what she has for us today. In your mighty name, Jesus. Amen.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you guys, firstly, if I could get this side to move over to this side. Just because I just don't want to have to be like going back and forth, and I have something that kind of goes along with that. Might make you feel a little uncomfortable, but you need to stand, but you need to be sitting by somebody. I know, sorry. You got this. And here's my reason a little bit behind that. I believe that when we do some things in the physical, something happens in the spiritual realm. And so I want to give glory to God today in the Most High. And so something that I'd like us to do in the physical would be this. I'm going to ask Pastor if every hears a good word if he could say glory to God. Okay, so when he says glory to God, can you all clap your knees twice? Okay, let's try that. Okay, this time when he says glory to God, I want you to clap your knees twice, clap your hands twice. Go ahead. Okay, this time when he says glory to God, I want you to clap your knees twice, clap your hands twice, and then high five your neighbor and say amen. Ready? Amen. Okay, so I'm going to start off in Isaiah's 59:21, and there was a couple of us that went to a women's conference on Thursday and Friday, and you know, God is so faithful to confirm what he's doing in your life, and this is a scripture, I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I think it's really relevant. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. Verse 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Pastor?
Glory to God, sorry.
Okay, I need a little bit more action than that. I have about half of you going. This should, place should be lit up. I want glory to be given to God today, folks. Let's try it again. Okay, that's a little better. So I want to kind of start off a little bit about what's been going on in my life. In the last 6 months, I would say that we were honestly thinking about going to another church, and I was praying about it, and I felt like I wasn't growing, and what's my problem, and it's been a tough year. You know, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and the Lord quickened my spirit. He had me read Mark 2:21, so if y'all can turn there. Mark 2:21. Mark 2:21 says this, no one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wineskin bursts with the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined, but the new wineskin must be put into new wineskins. The Lord was telling me, the problem is not the church. The problem is your thinking. You come to church with the same mindset. You come to the church with the same old wineskin. Pastor's pouring you wine, but it's not going anywhere because you have an old way of thinking. So I just want to challenge you guys to if that's you, if you feel like you're not growing in our church, start thinking in a new way. Start thinking in a new pattern. This is from Reverend Wayne Manning. He interprets it this way. You can't put new ideas into old mindsets. You can't get new results with old behaviors.
Oh, glory to God.
Amen. Amen. Now, I'm not saying that I think we should abandon all our old thoughts or our old ways. That's not it at all, but if you don't start thinking in new patterns or in new behaviors, then you're going to be stuck there. God doesn't want you to be stuck there. He wants you to grow. So don't abandon them completely, but don't be stuck there either.
Glory to God.
Yes. Amen. Now you're getting it. So Pastor was talking last weekend about altars and how altars consume you with his fire. And I've been taught that, so some of you guys know I went to Bible college, and in Bible college, there was an amazing lesson, probably one of the biggest lessons that stuck in my head, and that was this, that In the Old Testament, when they were giving glory to God, or when they were trying to reconnect with God, they'd build altars. Now, that wasn't something new to me. You know, I'd heard that in church before, growing up in the church, heard that. But this is what he said that really was like, oh, that's interesting. That when they would get lost, that they would go back to their last altar place so that they can move forward again. That's what stuck with my brain. And so every time I felt like I've been lost, you know, over the course of the last 15 years, I remember that teaching, and I would go back to my last altar. Now, in this time, my thoughts went back to what I thought was my last altar, which is like clear back 15 years ago. And he began to quicken my heart and say, new wineskin, new thoughts. Okay, that was 15 years ago. Are you forgetting about the time 4 years ago when I gave you a word to speak to your church? And so I began thinking, okay, so that was another altar. So I kind of want to talk about a little bit of the altars that I've been through, just because it'll help you understand how I got to my very last altar. And in the women's conference, they talked about us being flowers and how we have thorns, and that the flower, the rose is not a rose without its thorns. And so one of the altars that happened in my life was when I was in Bible college, and probably Tara and my mom and Casey are probably the only one that know this, but I reached a place where I've never shared this on the altar, but I really feel like this is my story, and I need to give glory to God. When I was 5 years old, I was molested by my cousin. Now, I only bring that up to you because I had never shared that with anybody ever. And when I was in Bible college, they were having a teaching on, you know, confessing things and then God will replace those. And so I felt it pressed in my heart that I needed to share that with somebody. And I'm telling you, first it was God saying, I need to share it with God. And I'm thinking, but God, you were there. You know everything that's happened in my life. You know, why should I have to tell you? But it still took me like 2 hours of crying to confess it to the Lord, my Savior, my God, my everything. And yet I did, and there was freedom in that. And then he pressed on my heart to share it with a pastor. And there's fear there. You know, you think, oh, people are going to look at me different. They're going to think I'm dirty. They're going to think I'm weird. They're going to say, oh, that's why she's got problems. That's why she's so messed up, you know. But I shared it with him, and his response was, he sang a lullaby to me. And here I was, this 20-year-old girl, and I'd never been singing a lullaby in my life. Like 2 hours later, I felt like a flower. I know that sounds so weird, because it was so weird to me. Like, how do you feel like a flower? But I did. I felt beautiful. I felt valued. I felt like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders. I felt like a flower. And In my worship time, because we worshiped every morning, and I felt I pressed upon my heart to talk to him very early in the morning, right when we got there, before worship started, before my date started, because I knew that if I waited till the end of the day, it probably wouldn't have happened. I'd probably been too fearful. And so in the worship time, I don't know why this is, but I don't know if some of you guys have the same crazy thoughts that I do, but here I was, 20 years old, and my whole life, I don't know how many of you know my mother, but she had 5 children, and she had not the best husband, to say the least, and she did it on her own. I think she'd be okay if I shared this, but and she had three miscarriages. And so all my life, I don't know why, because I had been raised in the church. I'd been spoke over. You're beautiful. You're valued. You're worth. You have, you know, all these things. You're a princess. That's what's been told to me. But still, I always thought, I'm going to grow up and be just like my mother. I'm going to have a bunch of kids, and I'm going to have this horrible husband, and that's going to be my life. Now, did I purposely try and think that? Did I really, do you think that's really what I wanted? Do you think that was really, my heart's desire? Does anybody want that? But I just thought that that was going to be my life, and I found freedom that day in my worship. It was like God telling me, you've thought that, but I have something different planned for you. And I found a freedom in that. And so one of my altars is every single time that I've fallen away from God, I've come back to this place and, this is my last altar. He calls me flower. I'm so beautiful. I don't have to deal with this anymore. And God's saying, that's not your last altar. That was something that I did for you. That's a place that you came from, but that's not your last altar. I always thought that I felt like my mom wasn't able to ever walk in her calling because she had so many kids. I felt like because she didn't have this wonderful husband who came to church with her, that she could never minister to people, that she could never. And that's where God's been speaking to me over even the last 3 or 4 months. Like, who are you to tell me or to tell your mother what her calling is? Who are you? How do you know that I didn't do that purposely in her life and that she, and in fact, he began to have people calling me who I haven't talked to in years, okay, random people hitting me up on Facebook saying, I just want you to know that your mom was there for me at 2:00 in the morning when I had nobody, when my husband was cheating on me, when I did not know the Lord, and she would answer her phone and she would pray with me. Is that not my mom's calling? Is she not impacting the kingdom of God out of her weakness? Amen. Glory to God. So, just like a month ago, I reached this place where this year's been really tough on me. I lost my job. I felt like I'm being attacked by people in my work. My mom and I had an altercation. I haven't talked to her in 4 months. Jason and I had a fallout, and I was desperate for God. So desperate, and I went back to my last altar, which I thought was my last altar, right? Like, I need to taste this freedom. And he began to speak to me, like, that's not your last altar. But there's also tools that he's given me, fasting and listen to only Christian music and solely focusing on God and reading your word. And so I was doing these things, and I came to MITS, and I poured my heart out to these girls. And during the conference, she talked about Hannah and how Hannah got to a point where she was so desperate to get pregnant that she was crying and that nothing came out. And as soon as they read that, I was like, that was me a month ago in MITS crying out to these women and to God, really, going, well, I just, a little prelude, I know this might be, but it's funny, but Pastor was talking that day, Pastor Gaylene, and she was saying that, you know, have you ever heard like someone come up to you and say, oh, you did such an awesome job making that cake, or, but you could have changed the color. It could have been a better color, you know, sorry. You know, and there's always, they always start with good, and then there's the but, and they end with the bad. Well, Gaylene was showing us, and I wish I had the scriptures. I wish I took better notes that day, but I was kind of a wreck. and I wish I would have asked her maybe, but she was saying, but God, he starts the other way. Okay, you need to work on this, and you need to do this, but glory to God. But this is what I have planned for you. But there's so much more. And I remember when I was crying out to these women, and I was out of breath, and I was saying, where's my butt? You know, we're not, you know, like, well, let me tell you. But I was serious, you know. I'm going, all I see is that I don't have my mom in my life. I don't have my boyfriend in my life. I don't have a job in my life. I don't have this and I don't have that, and that's my butt. That's all I saw. And I felt like I went home that day and I didn't feel relieved, you know. I mean, I felt encouraged that there's got to be a but, you know. There's got to be a but for me, whether it's my own thinking is all my buts are negative thoughts. But I know that God has a but for me too. He does. And so I went home that night and I was just praying to the Lord because I felt like I had done all these things to try and really draw near to him. And he reminded me of David and how David was in the cave and God told him, I mean, can you imagine you're in this cave and your butt is that you're going to be king. Like that's your butt, right? This is David's butt. He's going to be king and he's in this cave. Did he wallow in self-pity? Well, a little bit, you know, a little bit in his songs it comes out. I mean, let's get real. He was a real person. It wasn't all beautiful and wonderful. But what did he do? He worshiped God anyways. What did he do?
Glory to God.
Gave glory to God. Amen. Amen. And so, but God began to speak to me, like, you feel like you're in the cave, but you need to worship me. You need to, how does he even say it? Like, arise up in my soul and give glory to God. Or arise my, I wish I had it in my head right now, but I don't, does anyone know what I'm talking about? Something like, praise the Lord, oh my soul, despite how I'm feeling. Yeah. You know, so you don't feel like praising me, soul, you rise up and you're going to worship my God. Okay, so another thought that I was having that I've probably thought of since my daughter was born 11 years ago, because now I felt like, you know, I had sinned. I had a child out of wedlock. I thought of Moses and how Moses led the people and he was supposed to go into the promised land. And what did he do? He was disobedient and he couldn't help himself. He had to hit that darn rock twice. And so what happened? Moses didn't get to go into the promised land. And so I allowed, it's not from God, folks. It's not. But I allowed the enemy to come in and say, well, you're just like Moses. You disobeyed me. You did what you wanted to do. And now you don't get to go into the promised land. You don't get a butt. It's not for you. You made your mistakes. This is what it is. Now, Moses loved God. He went to heaven. You know, he was probably content. How do we know if Moses would have repented, if Moses might have gone into the promised land? We don't know that. We don't know that. So these were some of my thoughts, you know, the way I was thinking. These are some of the back altars that I was thinking about. And God spoke to me and he said, when you walk in new thinking with new experience, then the glory of the Lord will be revealed. I can't dwell on how it was in Bible college. I can't dwell on the dreams that I had when I was 20 years old. I can't dwell on what I think is a good message, what I think how church should be ran. Those are my old thoughts. I've got to have new thinking with new experiences so that the glory of God can be revealed.
Glory to God.
Amen. Amen. So how do I get these new thoughts? How do I get from dwelling on all these things, dwelling on the past, holding on to all these great memories and trying not to stay there? How do I build from that? Where do I go from there? And what did the, so he began to talk to me about, well, what did they do when they went to their last altar? They would walk and they would build a new altar. But how do you know where to go to build the new altar? Well, if you're still with me at Mark 2:21, right before that, amazing how God works, right? On verse 19, so 2:19 says this. And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and they will fast in those days." And then it goes on to talk about the old garments and the new garments. So how do we get into new thinking? We fast. Why do we fast? To get closer to Jesus. If we get closer to Jesus, because ultimately, these altars are when we encounter, or like Pastor was saying last week, when we are consumed in his fire. Christ is our ultimate sacrifice. He is. So we need to get to that place where we draw near to the Lord so that we can get to the place where we can build a new altar. And by his glory and by his grace, he will consume us with his fire. So, like I had told you, some of you guys know, some of you guys don't know. I'm pregnant. Yeah. And so I did fast. Now, I couldn't fast exactly how I wanted to fast, of course, but, and I'm not going to tell you exactly what I did fast, but it was going without something to draw near to Christ, okay? And when I did that, in those 2 weeks, and when I cried out in midst, and when I was saying, "But Lord, where's my butt?" And I continue, and Pastor Gaylene encouraged me, "Don't stop doing those things just because you haven't seen any results. I wanted them instant. You know, I want them now. I'm feeling crummy now. I want to feel good. You know?" And so I kept doing those things, and the Lord, it was like, I think what, it was the next weekend when Rowdy was speaking. And he was talking about how, you know, we take from the dirty well. And I'm not going to lie, I didn't feel a particular, like, tugging on my heart. And a lot of times when someone gets, you know, "Hey, come up here if you want prayer. You know, if this is feeling on your heart." Like, the only time I've ever come up was when my heart beats, where I feel like, okay, the Holy Spirit's talking to me. He's really tugging on my heart. But this particular time, I didn't feel that. I didn't. But I know that God is faithful. And that just because I wasn't feeling a particular tug, or just because I wasn't feeling a particular way, that doesn't mean that you're not supposed to come to the altar.
Oh, that is a good word.
So was like, you know what? I'm in this low place. I feel crummy. I feel bad. I've been fasting. I'm going to go up there and see what God has for me. And this, folks, was my last altar. I came up there, and what's Rowdy's wife's name? Lisa and Gaylene, they prayed for me, and this is what they prayed over me. You're still worth it. Here's your but. You're not banned from the promised land. That was before Christ. That was before his sacrifice. That was before he's made you new. You may not feel worth it, but Christ is worth it. You have a calling, and Lisa specifically said, you're worth it, and I feel the Holy Spirit just all over me, and in a couple weeks, Alicia, you're going to start walking in your calling. So that was my last altar, and I believe that's why I'm speaking today, because there's no way that if I didn't come up to that altar that day, that I would feel worth standing here sharing with you guys right now. There's no way. So part of my calling, I feel like, is... I've been prophesied my whole life that I'm gonna be a prophet in the house, and I've always, my old way of thinking again, right? I've always thought that a prophet was someone who like predicted the future. You know, like you can't be wrong. And so I began to just pray about that. And what is God? What is my calling? And what is it that you're asking me to do? And so in 1 Corinthians 14:3, sorry, excuse me. Let's see if I can turn there. Well, I know where that's at. I'll be able to turn to it real quick. I have all these papers in here. That's because I don't know how to use an electronic one, Pastor. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 14:3. As I keep sniffing. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. So, I feel like God's building an altar in me even today. I have a couple words that God has given me of edification to some of the saints here. But before I do that, there's something else that's been just burning on my heart. And this is the hard part. It's been really easy to talk about what sin has been put on me. It's been really easy to talk about how, you know, there's been a fallout with my mom, or that my job didn't treat me right, or all those things are easy to talk about. When it's not my responsibility, when it's not something that I've done. So he doesn't know I'm going to do this today, but God's been putting on my heart, because, you know, when I got pregnant with baby number 4, and I feel like that's prevented me. What I thought prevented my mom actually was preventing me from walking in my calling. And, you know, as soon as right before I hit my rock bottom, it was like, you know, the enemy wants to come in and try and steal that and say, look at you. Here you are, pregnant with baby number 4. You're not married. You're not living according to my word. You don't exactly have a healthy relationship. How can you be used? And that's when I felt, I'm not worth it. I'm not worth it. I can't walk in my calling because my sin is evident. I walk around, I got this big old belly hanging out. You know, people look at me, and not everybody knows I'm not married, you know. But I believe that when change happened, when I was in Bible college, was when I confessed what had happened to me. And that's when God's glory was revealed. And so it's not easy standing up here and saying, you know, I'm not married and I'm on baby number 4. And every day I struggle with the fact that I'm not married and I'm on baby number 4. So in that, God's asked me to build an altar of purity. And I have struggled with worshiping the God of sex. I've never been able to go more than 3 months since I was lost my virginity at 23 years old. And God's a jealous God. And he's telling me no more. I want all of you. You want to impact my kingdom? I want all of you. So I know, you know, Jason and I had started out our relationship in purity. In fact, we went our 3 months. Whatever that's worth. But I just want to say to you that I have to walk in obedience. And I know that it won't be hard. It won't be easy for either one of us. And I'm not saying that we need to necessarily break up, but and I know you feel like Bible college put a lot of things on me, changed my thinking into certain patterns, but I know this is from God. I know that it's not because some man told me that you need to walk in purity. It's not because some Bible college told me that, but he's placed it on my heart. If I don't do this, I'm not going to be any good for you. I'm not going to be any good for my children. I'm not going to be any good for his kingdom. I will live in that cave forever. And yeah, I'll go to heaven, and yeah, I'll meet Jesus, and everything will be hunky-dory, but people's lives will not be changed. My daughter, who knows what, I've preached to her for 9 years. Wait till you're married. It's not worth it. But if I can show her you can be in a relationship that's unhealthy for 3 years, and by the grace of God, I can do it. I can withstand and walk in purity for 6 months, 2 years, however long it takes, and say, by God's grace, I was able to walk in purity, and you can too. And you can too. And for the women that come across, because I know that this is just the start of my calling. I know this is just the start of how God's going to use me. And when women come up to me, or when teens come up to me and they say, oh, I've just been sleeping with so-and-so, or I've blah, 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 blah. And I can say, I've been there. I've done that. But let me tell you about God's grace. Let me tell you about the strength of the cross. So that's one altar that I've got to stand on today, okay? So I know God asked me that's what you need to confess. You need to get that out, and then you need to start walking in your calling. Don't dwell there. Don't go back to that. So with that, I know Katie's not here. God gave me a word, but you know what? I can talk to her another time. It don't matter. And then you, Alex, come here, please. Now, I don't know you very well, but just in my prayer time, God gave me a word for you. You believe that? Okay. So, for all you, if you want to turn to Matthew 14, 28. The Lord told me that you're like Peter, okay? So this is, I'm going to read a little bit of scripture, okay? And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down off the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. I just want to stop right there. There's something about Peter and that particular time. You know, anybody could have got off that boat and walked toward Jesus, right? So I know you're surrounded by, like, lots of friends and probably lots of friends who know Jesus. But sometimes God's calling you to come off that boat and to come to him and where your other friends won't be called. And I believe that you have the faith and you have the love for Jesus and you know him well enough to take that step and be bold and to get off that boat. And so he said, come. And when Peter had come down off the boat, he walked on the water to go down to Jesus. So there are going to be times in your life where you're walking on the water and you're really close to him and you feel good and you feel close and you're like, wow, I'm walking on the water. Look at me. No one else is walking on the water, but Jesus has called me to walk on the water. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out saying, Lord, save me. Now, I don't say this to discourage you, but if we're not perfect people, you know, we're going to fall. We're going to have doubt. There's going to be fear that comes in. But the important thing that you need to remember is, what did Peter do? What did he do? He cried out and said, Lord, save me. And what did Jesus do? He saved him. So have that courage to get off that boat. Walk on that water. Keep close to God. When you start to fall and when you start to sink and you start to have doubt, you cry out to him and he will save you. Okay? Pastor, you want to come up here and just confirm that word and pray over him for me?
Thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for
that life.
We just release, God, your perfect plan and will, Lord, in this word, Lord, of him being one that follows your calling, Lord, and steps out in the water. We seal that, Lord, with this prayer. And we, as a family right now, Lord, we just stand with him and we release, God, your perfect will over his life.
Yes, Lord.
And God, when it comes difficult and when times are tough, Lord, we pray he would turn his eyes back on you and
yes,
cry
Lord.
Out to you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We just release, God.
Amen.
Your plan and your purposes are out.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Seal this word in his heart.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, let it come into fruition quickly, Lord. Let him see, God, him walking on the water. Let him experience, Lord, that supernatural life that you've called him to.
Yes, Jesus. Lord. Amen. Amen. And then my daughter, can you come up here? And I know that I can speak word over her at any point in time, but, you know, there's something that happens when you come up to the stage. There's something that happens when you know that it's Jesus and not your mom standing here, you know? And so, let me try and find it. We're in Psalms. Psalms 1:1. And this is a little tricky. This is challenging me when the Lord told me. He didn't give me this word until this morning, and I was just like, are you sure, God? You know, because it's like she sees me every day. She knows when I yell at her. She knows, you know, she knows when I lose it and come off my rocker. But despite that, I know that God has a word for you. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So I just want to encourage you to read your word. You don't have to get it from a pastor. You don't have to get it from someone speaking to you, but you can receive just like anybody else out here. When you read your word, it can come alive, and this is what it comes down to. It says, "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in season, whose leaf also not whose leaf shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Meaning, if you get into your word day and night, you'll be planted like a tree. You won't be persuaded one way or another in this world that you will not, you will bring forth fruit. And I believe that you will, you are a natural born leader, and that you will help others to see that fruit in your life. And that no leaf shall wither, and you shall prosper. You don't have to walk in the same shoes that I did. You don't have to go down that same path. You can be prosperous from this moment on. Okay? All right. You want to just pray for her too?
Lord, we just thank you for Bella, God, and we thank you, God, that, that she is going to be hungry after your word, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. She is going to be able to receive the truth, God, from your word. And Lord, she will be, Lord, that like that tree planted by those rivers of living water, Lord. We release, God, your supernatural empowerment over her life. We release, Lord, your godly counsel and wisdom over her life. Lord, we release the anointing of God, Lord, that will break every yoke that the enemy tries to put on her to keep her from being in your word, Lord. We pray, God, that you would open up her heart for understanding, to be able to understand your word and apply your word to her life, Lord, so that it makes sense and so that it is also an example for others to follow.
Yes.
We bless her now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
That was weak. Can we do it one more time?
Yeah.
Come on. Okay, one more time. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And so that I really feel like some things have happened here today, but I just feel like there's more. And you know, there's only a handful of us here, right? But I would like for the prayer team to come up, and I just want to refresh on a few things that maybe you're in that place where you keep returning to that same altar, and it's time for a new altar. Maybe you're in a place where you've had that old thinking, that old wineskin, and the wine just keeps getting poured out and comes right out of you. Maybe you are in that place where you need new wineskin. Maybe you need to get unstuck. Maybe you're stuck on the one altar saying, "Glory to God, this is where I'm going to stay. It's a beautiful place." He has more for you. Maybe you just need a comforting word. Maybe you're just struggling. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you just need a word of comfort. Because you can't tell me that every single person isn't at one of those places right now. So I just wanted to open up the altar and have anyone who would like some prayer to come up and get prayer. And like I had shared, you know, a couple weeks ago when they opened the altar up, there was only, I think, two of us that even came up, you know. If you might not be feeling that, your heart beating, you may not be feeling the tug by the Holy Spirit, but you just want more Jesus, that's where it's at. Amen. That's where it's at. So, I don't know if we have a little music you want to play. I don't know how this all works. maybe get us in feel good feeling, you know.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Alicia. Wow. Gave us a lot to ponder and work out in our hearts. Thank you for your transparency, your openness, and I know God will honor it. Even though sometimes we step out and like, what am I doing? He'll show his faithfulness when we're obedient. He's always bigger than our obedience. It comes through multiplied. And so I know that he has started that work in you as well as all of us. And yeah, you're going to walk out who you're called to be. We're in agreement with that. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, got a few that are still being ministered to, but Father, we thank you for this day. I pray, God, that you would just allow us, Lord, to not just move on from here and forget what even happened, Lord, but you'd remind our hearts this week, today, Lord, what you want to speak to us. Lord, where are our altars, Lord, that we're to have today, and where are we to move to our new altar, God? We pray that there'd be revelation and truth that would come. And pray, God, that we would become who you've called us to be and not believe the lies of the enemies. Lord, that we would overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony and not love our lives unto death. And we just surrender all to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Have a wonderful day.